Hello, everyone. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're looking after yourselves. I'm glad to bring you another episode of Pick Up the Mic. And yes, surprise, surprise. You know, time flies when you're having fun. We've come to the second to last episode of season three. And it's been a great journey so far. And we've even got another amazing episode for you today. Now, the topic for today's episode is representation within the education system. You know, we've previously spoken about this both in higher education institutions and BAME representation as a whole. And we've got a great guest speaker. And, you know, it's even better because she's a Brunel lecturer, you know, and as a Brunel student, we love to support our own. So I'm now going to hand over to our amazing guest speaker and just ask her if she could just introduce herself so you, our wonderful audience, can learn a bit more about her.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Thanks for having me. So my name is Antonina Tereshenko, and I'm currently a lecturer in education at Brunel University. So I'm originally from Ukraine, and that's where I was born and raised and went to the university. So I did my master's and PhD in England. So that's how I eventually ended up lecturing at Brunel University. After my PhD and before coming to Brunel, I worked on several projects, mainly on the topic of migrant students' identities and educational experiences in England and in Portugal. I was also very fortunate to work on a large-scale project which investigated the effects of attainment grouping in England on the outcomes of students, especially students from disadvantaged backgrounds. So that was at UCL. And prior to joining Brunel, I was at UCL where I did some research on the retention of teachers from minority ethnic groups. And that's, I think, you are most interested in today.
Yes, thank you very much for that. And like you said, we will be diving on a bit more into your previous work in today's episode as well. So that was an amazing introduction. And we're now going to go on to our first official question. So for our first official question, you previously spoke about your academic journey, but we really would like to know what inspired you to go into academics? What was the passion, the drive? Why did you decide that academics was the place that you wanted to be?
Well, I guess that was my master's, but I'd say that I think generally it's a highly rewarding and a fulfilling career for me because I also like doing social research. But I think as all teachers, academics are generally passionate about helping others to achieve their potential. So I do like my job. It's so great to work with motivated students and colleagues on issues which are so to speak close to my heart around social justice, equity in education. So having that space to think and to ask and answer questions which can potentially help inform or shape educational practices and policies.
Wow, that's really good. And it's great to see that you followed your passion, Antonina, because I think that's one of the things that as students, we sometimes forget that it's important to follow our passions, follow the places that we want to be and follow, you know, those dreams that we have. So yeah, it's great to see that you've done that in your own journey. And I'm sure our listeners will be interested to know more a bit about your work. And that nicely leads me on to the next question, where I know we discussed in the introduction that you spoke about your previous work, looking at these disparities when it came to, I guess, representation within the education system. Now, the first question that we'd like to ask you about this is, do you believe that the education system within England is making progress in regard to race equality? And now the reason why I'm asking this is because it nicely leads on to our section Mic Check, which is where we put some interesting facts and figures and statistics about different topics. And for today's one, we've got one from the government. And it was looking at essentially some of the research that, you know, you've previously mentioned of looking about how the disparities between students that go to university. You know, it said an interesting statement here that a lot of BAME students, so Black, Asian and minority ethnic students, go to university, but they actually don't see as much success as their white British counterparts. Mm. So essentially, we wanted to ask you, that do you believe that work is actually being done to address this? Is this improving, or is there a need for greater work to be done?
Well, I'll speak about the secondary education, I suppose pre-university education, because that was the research which I mentioned I've done at UCL. And, you know, you probably know that in the report that I published with my colleagues at UCL, we actually questioned this idea that the education system is making progress in terms of race equality, specifically for minority ethnic teachers. So there is overall diversity gap, and you'll probably cite that later in your facts and figures, but just to give your listeners a flavor, so we have currently 85% of teachers from white British background, but only 65% of students. So there is a 20 percentage point gap between our minority ethnic students and teachers. But even when you look at senior leadership teams within schools, the ethnic minority representation is even worse than that. There is some evidence that minority ethnic teachers tend to work in urban and quite diverse schools. And this is not just in England, but in other countries. So in our research, it's quite interesting, isn't it? So you could say, well, you know, so that's good. They're in the right places, you know, for all the good reasons. But there is also evidence that the retention is lower among minority ethnic teachers compared to majority ethnic teachers. So we asked teachers in our research from Black and Asian backgrounds why, for example, they might choose to work in diverse schools and why they might leave those schools. And it was all mainly linked to racial inequalities. So I'll just give you a few examples here. So we did find in interviews that the demographic characteristics of schools are quite important for minority ethnic teachers, and they did choose to go to work in diverse schools. They kind of described very unique, satisfying relationship with minority ethnic students in those schools. But what was quite clear is that diversity of student population alone is not enough to keep those teachers in schools in the long term. It seemed to us that staff diversity was even more important for minority ethnic teachers. So I'll give you an example. So one teacher in our study said that she moved to London because she wanted to teach specifically in a diverse school. And she herself was from Black Caribbean background. But when she moved to her primary school in London, where she said over 90% of children were Black, she very quickly noticed that all six members of the senior leadership team were white and also quite young. And that was kind of the last straw for her. And she was at that point leaving teaching after 5 years of qualifying, because she felt that the power imbalance created tensions in schools and also demonstrated kind of lack of opportunities for her to progress in her career. So I would call this situation, which seems to be quite common in schools, sort of environmental racial microaggressions, when people don't see other people of their race or ethnicity in senior roles. So that seemed to be the big issue for teachers. But we also found that middle leadership roles within schools, sort of like head of year or head of department, were attainable for minority ethnic teachers. But they described barriers to progression into senior leadership roles. And they also talked about lack of transparency in terms of who progresses or who has opportunities for professional development to be able to progress. And these concerns are very valid because of the national statistics, right? So we know that less than 10% of school leaders across English schools are from non-majority backgrounds. So interestingly also, workload, which is a big issue nationally for teacher retention, was not so much at the forefront of minority ethnic teachers' minds when we talked about retention. So, of course, they said that workload was high, especially because those teachers we interviewed worked in urban schools with more disadvantaged pupils, where they might have more demand on their time and so on. But most teachers said that it's not the workload which drives minority ethnic teachers out of profession, but lack of opportunities, because workload is actually the same for all teachers. So we even spoke in our report about hidden workload, where on top of normal workload, teachers from minority ethnic groups have to deal with racial microaggression, which are very psychologically exhausting, even for those teachers who are trying to avoid any confrontations. And I think what's interesting is that because we didn't specifically focus on one ethnic group, such as, for example, Black teachers or Asian teachers, we were able to highlight some differences within that sort of broad category of minority or BAME teachers, if you like. So, for example, it's what's interesting that while for some Asian ethnic groups, being from, say, a working class background and lacking that cultural capital was an issue in progression, Black teachers, Black British teachers, who were middle class themselves, said that advantages of their class were not there at all. So, and Black teachers who had migrated to England and, say, had an accent or other disadvantages faced even more challenges. Interestingly, the mixed race teachers highlighted the issue of colorism and how having light skin improved their chances of getting promotions because they were perceived somehow as less threatening and so on. So subject identities were also quite frequently talked about. So it seemed that experiences are different for, say, a male science teacher who is a teacher of a shortage subject versus, say, a Black primary school teacher, or early years teachers. So there would be those problems. So very similar issues, really, that we read about 20 years ago still are getting described by teachers today, and not just in England. Research from other Anglophone countries, for example, highlight all the same issues. So therefore, that's the answer to your question. Has there been a big progress, or has the education system made progress? Probably not as big as we need to see.
No, thank you very much for that. And I think listening to you discussing about your research was really interesting, because you raised a lot of key points there. When you were saying that, within, I guess, like we discussed before about this idea of BAME, that different groups were impacted in different ways is definitely key. I know in the our mic check segment, that document, and the link will be in the description for anyone who wants to read it themselves. They were saying as well that research was showing that using the term BAME made it problematic for whether it was schools themselves or whether it was research being done to see standards gendered progress, because like you said, one group within that, whether it's Asians or Black people, there would be that disparities and that difference. And especially like when you were talking about the role that accent can play as well, is definitely very key to highlight. So
I think it's paying attention to intersectional inequalities exactly. is really key, I think.
Yes, and I think I know we'll come on to it later about some ways that can some things that can be done to improve this. But I think that's a key thing to highlight, this idea of intersectionality, and it's not a one solution fits all. It's actually you need to understand the complexity of different groups because as everyone knows, we're not all races or one group is the same. There's all exactly. different things and different cultures within that as well. So I think that's a key thing to take forward. But yeah, that nicely leads on. And I know we sort of touched on it previously with some of the comments that you made. But we're now asking, what are some of the reasons for a lack of representation within education? I know you touched on some of them before, but I guess we just wanted to know, is there anything else that can impact impact representation?
I think obviously, as far as teachers, it's slow recruitment. So getting people interested to be teachers in the first place. And I suppose having role models, teachers in their own schooling might actually make students think that, teaching is a career for me, whereas if we only see white middle-class women, as teachers, so people from minority ethnic groups might not be encouraged to go into the profession, right? And I think low retention. I would argue that retention is possibly a bigger issue because, and then I don't know what you're going to be talking about later in relation to Teach First, but the recruiters, PGC programs at university and Teach First continuously show numbers of minority ethnic trainees going up. However, we don't yet see it reflected in the education system. So all research is showing that the early career retention is very, very low for minority ethnic teachers. So I think resources have to be put into retention as well as recruitment. What can be done, I think we'll talk later.
No, that's true. And I think, yes, I think recruitment is definitely, a key thing. I know, and I'm sure you've seen this as well, the many different adverts that have appeared on TV about getting into teaching and, the advantages that getting into teaching can have and how it's, a really good career. But it's about, like you said, not only encouraging people to join, but ensuring that people stay for the whole journey and ensure that, you're making teaching an enjoyable experience for those who have decided that this is the career path that they want to go down.
Absolutely.
And it's just ensuring that that's as clear as possible. And that nicely leads on, I guess, to our next question. Now, I know we've spoken about specifically more about how this lack of representation can impact teachers and how it can impact education. But we just want to know now, how can a lack of representation of BAME teachers in schools impact the students themselves? How can this, impact the students' lives? And I know we've got our question segment where you'll be asking me a question similar to this, and I'll save my answer for then. But we just wanted to know how can that impact students?
Well, the thing is that there is so much research, including large-scale research where teachers are linked to students in the U.S., and a lot of qualitative small-scale research anywhere in the world, including in England, which highlights that there are so many good reasons for having a diverse teaching workforce. So this research has shown that teachers from minority ethnic groups are in a position to provide more culturally sensitive teaching, understand and communicate and identify with students from minority ethnic backgrounds or non-dominant cultural and linguistic backgrounds in the way that non-minority teachers might not be able to do. So many studies in education have found bias in teachers' expectations of students. And some research says that an ethnicity match between teachers and students can actually positively predict expectations of students, especially for Black pupils. So, you know, it's indeed very important because we know the concept of self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, if teachers think that you are not going to succeed, eventually students will internalize that. If teachers have high expectations, if they understand the lives of pupils outside of school, pupils are more likely to internalize teachers' expectations and, you know, which will result in self-fulfilling prophecy and hopefully, you know, a success in education. But there is also research which suggests that, you know, all students, not just minority students, benefit from diverse educational experiences and having diverse perspectives in the classroom as well. So we can't forget about that as well. It's not just about ethnic matching. We need in our diverse society to expose all students from majority and minority backgrounds to a variety of perspectives, anti-racist teaching, culturally sensitive teaching, and so on.
No, that's true. And it's, you know, that key phrase of decolonizing education and showing, you know, these examples, not only through what the students are being taught, but like you said, within the academic team and the teachers, and especially in higher positions within schools. So the senior leadership team, of showing those examples of having, you know, a wide diverse range of individuals on those panels. And we've seen that, you know, I guess looking at on a wider scale, that organizations have started to do that. And we've previously spoken about this. But yes, I think it's very key, like you said, to implement that when it comes to our schools, because, you know, that's where, like you said, that's essentially where students first interact with the world. You know, that's when they're first in this mindset of connecting with others. And I guess, you know, it might be a bit early to network at secondary school, but they are still gaining the skills of networking and meeting new people. And it's only by having that diverse range of individuals, both on the teaching side and in the classroom, that we're able to learn about different cultures and different people and really connect to them as well, which is very key. But yeah, we've now come to the last question before we move on to our section of passing the mic, where I will pass the mic over to Antonina. And we essentially, you know, we talked about it before, about the improvement side of things. You know, we want to end on a positive note. But our question for you is, what can schools do to improve the representation of BAME teachers?
Okay, so I would kind of rephrase it slightly and say how schools can change their practices and cultures to support sort of the retention of BAME teachers, if that's okay with you.
No, that's better. I love that one. I love the way it sounds. So yes, it's perfectly fine with me.
So as I said, so generally sort of as an outcome of research I've talked about briefly, we recommended that school leaders, because they are really, you know, the people who can change culture and shape culture and so on. As I said, you know, people who are responsible for progression, support, and so on. So they need to improve their racial literacy and sort of reflect, I think, on their own teacher recruitment and retention practices, specifically in relation to the experiences of minority ethnic teachers. So it might involve learning about experiences, you know, and actively asking about those experiences. So I've actually just published a co-production guide with the school leaders from the Ethnic Diversity Network within the Association for School and College Leaders. And we discussed specifically that, what in their experiences school leaders can do to improve their racial literacy, which in turn should help to should help support the retention of minority ethnic teachers. And I think we came up with kind of three main themes. You know, there might be more, but you know, that was the result of that project. So I'm not just speaking from my experience here. I'm speaking from the experiences of our Black and Asian heritage school leaders. So, so firstly, we say that school leaders should be more proactive in enabling dialogue and conversation around race, diversity, and equity within school. So there is the suggestion that it's a good thing or idea, I'd say, that it's a good thing not to notice race, right? To be equitable and so on. But actually, teachers said in our research and wider research suggests that they can leave diverse schools if there is very limited dialogue about student progress from minority ethnic groups, about race, ethnicity. So school leaders need to become a little bit more comfortable with anti-racist conversations, practices, you know, creating that space for minority ethnic teachers to raise issues. And that will all help to address the frustrations teachers might have. So the second principle relates to the deployment and promotions of minority ethnic teachers. So I've said that there are well-documented challenges in relation to career progression of minority ethnic teachers, and that came up as the key retention factor in my research, especially when I spoke to teachers, more experienced teachers. So there is also an issue with stereotypical approaches to minority ethnic staff development, where often minority ethnic teachers are asked to take care of minority ethnic students in some kind of pastoral role. So being on the pastoral role not academic route, can also prevent future progression. So school leaders need to be aware of that and have proactive conversations with minority ethnic teachers. Of course, some of them might want to go down the pastoral route. That's absolutely fine. It's just about sort of having the same expectations, perhaps highlighting some potential barriers or making sure that, you know, something put in place to ensure that people who go down pastoral routes are still able to go into senior leadership. And finally, I think we said that everyone in schools, but mainly school leaders, kind of have to be willing to recognize and tackle whiteness as an overwhelming cultural norm in schools. So in what way? So look at your curriculum and look at which voices are silenced in the curriculum and which voices are overrepresented. School leaders can do a lot if they challenge their cultural response to minority ethnic staff. You know, those kind of stereotypes, unfortunately, are still very prevalent where, say, an Asian woman who acts like a white male leader would be stereotyped as difficult to work with or aggressive and so on, whereas that kind of behavior is completely normalized in a white male leader, say. So making some changes in terms of school culture, even on the level of, planning some kind of activities and staff development. So think about non-drinking member of staff, you know, who would not join into a trip to the pub to watch football, but might join for a meal in the restaurant or some other activity. So making those little changes can actually foster belonging within the school and, you know, feel minority ethnic teachers part of the community. Finally, you know, the school culture is still very Eurocentric. And it might be quite intimidating for somebody who doesn't listen to, you know, classic FM, to not feel intimidated by those conversations and not think, well, actually, I know a lot more about other things. So if school leaders are kind of make an effort to learn about different cultures, that might help to tackle those issues as well. So those are kind of just three things very, very broadly outlined. But, you know, that document is now available online. And, you know, if you are interested, I can share the links as well.
Oh, we'd love if you shared those links. And I think it would be really interesting to see, you know, hopefully some schools are listening as well, so they'll be able to implement some of these amazing steps that you've recommended. We thank you, Antonina, for all those wonderful answers, because we're now going on to our new segment, Passing the Mic. So at this point, I'm now going to hand over the mic to Antonina. She's going to ask me the question she's prepared for me today. And then I'm going to give my answer. Try and answer it as amazing as Antonina answered her questions. Because, she set a high standard. But I'm now going to pass over to Antonina to ask her question.
Thanks, Jeffrey. So in relation to our discussion today about, the importance of minority ethnic teachers and young people's experiences in school in relation to having or not teachers from the same background, I wanted to ask you about, your experiences growing up in England whether you had any teachers from a similar racial background to yourself.
Thank you very much. And I think for me, as you stuck with secondary school, I'll stick with secondary school as well. So for me, when I started in year seven at my secondary school, there wasn't a lot of black teachers at my schools, especially Nigerian teachers to that as well. And it was only, I think, maybe during my year seven, maybe halfway through my year seven year, that I met my first Nigerian teacher of my academic journey. And she was my English teacher. And I think that, you know, when you're talking about this idea of understanding and, support, especially support networks, I think that was one of the things that I really valued as having her as my English teacher, because I think with some of my subjects, sometimes it felt like you weren't given enough support, or, you know, people couldn't necessarily understand why you might not be able to understand things, or why you might not be able to do certain bits of work. But yeah, she was really understanding, as she was Nigerian herself. You know, she knew about, you know, whether it was Nigerian Independence Day or any other things. She was very, supportive of that. She was very friendly, even not to just me, just as a Nigerian, to the whole class. She was quite friendly and she was very supportive, very, you know, hands-on and getting to know each of the students. And I think that was a huge help going through my secondary school journey, because of, different events. There was that sense of understanding, which I think, like you said, wouldn't have been there if I didn't have them in my life. So I think that's definitely key. And yeah, hopefully, feel free, our wonderful listeners, if you want to put any stories, you're more than welcome to put them in the comments. But yeah, I think that would be my answer. So yes, thank you very much, Antonina.
No, thank you. I think it's, I think it's great. And I can say that, you know, I'm racialized as white, but, you know, also an immigrant, right? So I always felt, you know, when I saw a lecturer who had an accent or, say, a senior leader at the university, I felt, okay. So maybe I can make it as well. So I do realize in a small way, you know, how that's very important for young people.
No, that's so true. And I think especially, like you were saying, of post secondary school, going into the wider world, it's good to see people in those positions to know that, yes, you know, you can be essentially whatever you want to be. And then there's no limiters on you career wise that can stop you from going into whatever you want to do.
Well, yeah, thank you so much.
No, you're very welcome. Thank you, Antonina, for that wonderful answer. And, we're now on everyone's favourite section of MC of the Month. We've teased this episode's MC of the Month, but no worries, we'll be telling you who they are now. And they are Teach First. And Teach First are a social enterprise which aim to tackle and address educational disadvantages within England and Wales. They got on their website their mission. I think it's a powerful mission statement of fighting to make our education system work for every child. And they believe that this essentially can happen in three ways: having great teachers, inspiring teachers, and they said that they will support them in every step of the way as they discover their potentials. Brilliant leaders, so saying that, behind every great school, there needs to be an even greater leadership team that can help to support these talented teachers and ensure that they can be effective on every level of teaching. And finally, thriving schools. So connecting schools with, support networks, working to make everything positive within the school, and ensuring that the school can make a bigger impact as a whole. Now, specifically in the theme of representation, Teach First have got a section of their work website that talks about diversity and inclusion. So how they're essentially tackling injustice within the education system. They've got sections that talk about why it's important, what they're doing, and then what's, I guess, the next steps. But we're going to touch on some of this today. So they said that they're essentially, specifically when it comes to the idea of, Black students or Black teachers or a lack thereof, they've partnered with Mission 44 or Mission 44, which has been set up by Sir Lewis Hamilton as foundation. And their shared goal is to train and recruit 150 Black STEM teachers. So for anyone who doesn't know, STEM is science, technology, engineering and maths, over the next 2 years to work in schools serving disadvantaged communities in England. They're hoping that this work will help to diversify teams, help young people, young Black people, to realize and know their potential, and helping to diversify the education system. They talk about making education and teaching in an inclusive way. So they train their teachers to understand the barriers to learning, making sure teaching as a whole is accessible, challenging discriminatory behavior and language, improving and making the curriculum itself more inclusive, and finally supporting inclusive backgrounds, and finally supporting and developing inclusive environments. They've even talked about how they themselves as a network and an organization are planning to be more inclusive as a whole. And they've got different policies on their website. And the link will, as always, will be on our website, so you can check them out as well. But yeah, they are our MC of the month. So wow, it's been an amazing episode. And thank you once again to Antonina for being our wonderful guest and telling us and giving us wonderful information. Really enjoyed all the information that you've given us today, and I'm sure our audience is excited to see where all this research that you've done takes the education system. Now, before you go, I know some of our listeners who may be Brunel students, may not be Brunel students, they might be interested to know where they could get in contact with you if they've got any questions, or they want to know a bit more about your research. So how is the best way for these students to get in contact with you?
So we at Brunel, we have staff profiles which are publicly available. So mine would be antonina.tereshchenko@brunel.ac.uk, and there are all the publications which I've just talked about available on my profile as well. But do feel free to get in touch, and we have a wonderful cohort of doctoral researchers who are actually doing a lot of interesting work around social justice in relation to pupils and teachers and senior leaders from minority ethnic groups in English schools.
Wow, thank you very much for that. And it's been great to have you on the show. And yeah, we wish our audience a wonderful day, and we hope to see you all. So yeah, thanks everyone for tuning in. If you liked today's episode, like, comment, subscribe. As always, as you know, it's appreciated. If you want to see more about our exclusive content and learn a bit more about Antonina in future episodes, please subscribe to our Patreon page, where we will be talking a bit more to Antonina about this topic, and we'll be bringing on some new and old guest hosts to join us along the way. And if you like today's episode, please feel free to share it with your friends and family. We'd really appreciate it. But thanks everyone for listening. You know, keep an eye out for the last episode. As I said at the start, I can't believe it, but the last episode of Pick Up the Mic season 3. Have a nice day, and yeah, see you all soon.